The scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9. Luke, chapter 9, we'll begin reading with verse 28 and read through verse 36. About 8 days after Jesus said these things, he took Peter, John, and James and went up on a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes flashed white like lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, were talking with him. They were clothed with heavenly splendor and spoke about Jesus' departure, which he would achieve in Jerusalem. Peter and those with him were almost overcome by sleep, but they managed to stay awake and saw his glory, as well as the two men with him. As the two men were about to leave Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it's good we're here. We should construct three shrines, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But he didn't know what he was saying. Peter was still speaking when a cloud overshadowed them. As they entered the cloud, they were overcome with awe. Then a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him." Even as the voice spoke, Jesus was found alone. They were speechless, and at the time they told no one what they had seen. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Of all the scenes of the life of Christ depicted in the stories of the Gospels, this is probably the one that I would have liked to have seen with my own eyes the most. I mean, it has everything that captures my imagination and interest. It has transcendence, apparitions, mystery, light, veiled, multi-layered meanings. All of it so shiny. Who could ask for anything more? Wouldn't you have liked to have been there too? Who would pass up an opportunity like that? But how do we realize an opportunity for what it actually is? How can we know if what's behind the next door is going to turn out to be Monty Hall's big deal or a dud? Can we tell the wrapping? What's behind that wrapping? Can we tell by the presentation? Can our sense of discernment really be trusted? I mean, all that glitters is not gold, right? Maybe we balk when we need to walk. Maybe what we need is the courage to step across the threshold of opportunity when it is presented to us. Peter, James, and John seem to have been born ready. They immediately left their fishing boats when Jesus called them to follow him. All indications are that they adjusted well to life on the road with Jesus. They maintained a proximity to Jesus that made them known as Jesus' inner circle of disciples. They alone were invited into the room as Jesus raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. They alone were invited to go the distance with Jesus in the garden as he prayed before his crucifixion. As he headed up the mountain, Jesus knew that they needed to go along. Maybe he knew what this opportunity would do for them, whether they knew it or not. Maybe he knew that they were always so ready to follow him, but they needed to cross a threshold that would transform them into being the leaders they were soon to become. Were they ready for that? Are we? Jesus might have had to nudge the sleepy-headed disciples to wake them up. "Hey guys, come with me. It's a beautiful morning and I'm headed up the mountain to pray. Why don't you join me?" Simon Peter, who always seemed to have an idea on most topics, might have asked sleepily, "Why can't we just pray right here? Why do we have to climb some mountain just to pray? Don't you keep telling us that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, wherever you are?" "Yeah," James chides in. "And why do we have to do it at the crack of dawn? Let us wait until we're awake. We'd probably get more out of it then." Like a persistent parent on the first morning after a snow day, Jesus keeps after them. "Come on. I have a good feeling about this. I don't think you're going to want to miss this." Can you imagine? Can you just imagine if the disciples had wanted to stay in bed that Sunday morning? What if they chose to sleep in? No vision of Moses and Elijah. No voice from heaven. No mountaintop encounter. They would have missed the opportunity of worship. The opportunity of a lifetime. But they would have missed out on more than that. It would have left a hole in their faith journey had they missed that opportunity for worship. A hole that would have changed their lives. That's why Jesus didn't want them to miss it. Worship opportunities are important. Worship encounters change things. Worship transfigures our world and our lives, letting us see everything, well, in a new light. This was surely a unique encounter, an experience unlike anything they had ever had before. Well, this was live streaming at its best, as Moses and Elijah crossed the threshold of death to stand with Jesus and those sleepy-eyed disciples on the mountaintop. But it was not unlike other encounters that they would have later in their lives. For instance, we know that Peter would be spoken to in a vision of his own when Jesus had been crucified, resurrected, and ascended into the heavens. Peter was alone on a housetop praying at noon. There, he had a vision. It was a vision of a sheet being lowered from heaven. On that sheet were all kinds of animals, animals that were deemed unclean. There was a message spoken to Peter as he prayed alone on the mountaintop and on the housetop. The voice he heard from the sheet told him that the sheet was his menu to take a look and decide what he wanted for lunch. But being the devout and faithful Jew that he was, he declined the double bacon cheeseburger, based upon his understanding of the prohibitions established and taught to him by the traditions of his faith. Even after being with Jesus and Moses and Elijah, even after seeing the vision of Jesus being transfigured with blazing light, even after being instructed by a voice from heaven to pay attention, he was reluctant to get the message that day on the housetop. Like a waiter coming back to an indecisive patron, The call to make a selection is repeated three times. Finally, Peter got the message. Do not consider anything that God has created, that God has made, to be unclean or unacceptable. Peter got it. Finally. From that vision, he understood, like so many still need to learn, that God's grace and love are all-inclusive. All God's children are loved without condition and exceptions, regardless of what we've been taught by traditions, even those lessons that claim to be based on religiously sanctioned exclusion. Period. Would Peter have gotten that message that day? Would Peter have ever gone to Cornelius, which was the purpose of that vision? Would the Gentiles ever have been included in the reach and the grace of the gospel? Would you and I ever have been among the followers of Christ had Jesus not invited Peter up on that mountaintop for a taste for visions, a taste for messages from God, and going new directions that occur through and from our worship experiences? What about John? Why did Jesus think he needed that mountaintop encounter? John would eventually find himself exiled on the Isle of Patmos. There he too would have a vision. Alone on that island, John would see the curtains of heaven pulled back, giving him a sneak peek at the ultimate victory of the kingdom of God. The final chapters in John's life and in our Holy Scripture was a shout of praise and victory, because John saw not the oppressive regime that had banished him, not the compromised churches who wavered before the challenge of that oppressive regime, but he saw a glorious and living Christ. Because John stood with Jesus on the mountaintop, he had eyes to see a glimpse of heaven. Peter and John later had visions of their own, but what about James? James might have had a vision too, but if he did, we don't know about it. Was there a mountaintop? Was that a once and done for James? Why was it something Jesus thought he needed? James was the brother of John, the older of the two, actually. Together, they were known as the Sons of Thunder, or better still, the Bash Brothers. That was their reputation, especially James. It was their idea, for instance, to call down fire from heaven to destroy a Samaritan village and city for not believing, which, by the way, was something that Elijah had actually been credited with doing in his lifetime. James was not exactly the type who had a taste for that kind of mountaintop moment with all the trappings of tradition, mystery, and listening, especially the listening. He was not the kind who had a taste for standing still, but much more prone to follow his bold passion. Perhaps he was invited to that worship encounter in order to dial down his impulsive passion. Maybe Jesus thought Elijah could get through to James in some way, that his message of peace and love seemed to be going in one ear and out the other with James. Elijah seems to have had a little more impact on James than Jesus did. James was the first of the disciples to be martyred, by the hand of Herod, nonetheless. It seems his passions still led to his demise as he got in trouble with power in high places. James, like all of us, was a work in progress. This was a moment that he needed. It's not only mountaintop encounters. Each and every opportunity is important that we have for worship. And it is filled with potential. Worship encounters change things. Worship transfigures our world and our lives. Encountering the Spirit of Christ, hearing the message that God has for us, and prepares us for where life is headed next, whether that be our own cross, our own call to extend and embrace God's love to others, or in our own places of sad exile. Worship encounters are our opportunities to come to see our own needs and to be transformed by the Spirit of God who speaks to us. The good news of the gospel is that while only the disciples in Jesus' inner circle were invited to climb that mountain with Jesus, we are all included in the invitation to listen to what the Spirit will speak to us, even as we worship in this place this morning. Time spent in worship, listening to the Spirit of God as that Spirit speaks to us, speaks to our spirit, on a mountaintop, under a tree, at the kitchen sink, in a pew, or online. That moment can transform you and transfigure the whole world before you, letting you see the unveiled gaze, the brightness of God, transcendence, apparitions, mystery, and light. So shiny. Your mountaintop encounter awaits every time you enter into the worship of God. And you're not going to want to miss it. Amen.